when you walk into the ring with the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, good afternoon, everybody out there. You're listening to Blood River Radio. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's Blood River Radio. It is May the 4th in the year of our Lord, 2019. Every year I get more excited. Every day I get more excited. I'm trying to hold myself down tonight so I can get this show out. I'm just running on super high octane. We have a lot to do tonight, so I've got to make a lot of announcements. But before we make any announcements, we're going to go to Jacob. Y'all know Jacob Goodwin. He's getting ready to lead us in prayer before we do another thing. So if you will, people, please bow your head while Jacob leads us in prayer.
Thank you, Eddie. Let's pray, everybody. Heavenly Father, we come before you tonight. We thank you for this opportunity to be here once again to fellowship on air with our fellow hosts here and with our listeners. And we ask that you would just go with us tonight, quicken our minds and embolden our hearts. Help us to be quick and to say all the things that you would have us to say tonight. And we ask that the effort that we expend on the recording and of this show tonight will be used mightily, and that you would take our humble offerings, like the young boy who offered the loaves and the fishes with which you took and you multiplied it and you fed the 5,000. We ask tonight, Lord, that you would take our meager offerings to advance the cause of truth and multiply it, that it may feed all amongst our people tonight who are hungering and thirsting after the truth, that it may encourage them and quicken their spirits and remind them that there is always still time to do battle before the sun goes down for your kingdom and your crown and your covenant, and that this is true for all of God's people, wherever they be in the world tonight and in the coming days. And we ask that you would help us to speak the truth and shame the devil and just make a mighty statement, plant a banner on a hill and truly declare amongst the nations that Babylon is fallen this night. And we ask all of these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you so much, my younger brother, like my younger son, Jacob. Jacob's only 30 years old. He's not much older than my youngest grandchild. My youngest grandchild, Blake, I'm so proud of him. I just got home. This week's just been every day is go, 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 14, 15, 16 hours a day. I went to Blake's college graduation day. I was so proud. I hate to say it. I mean, I cried, man. They had a vice admiral. He was the former commandant. He was head of the Naval Academy. But I don't have time to talk a whole lot about that because we have so much to say. The good news, little Matt Goodwin will be back next week. He's been busy. We're making plans already. Talked to him today at length. He'll be back. Before we go with further announcements, here's what we got. The first hour after the top of the second segment, we're going to bring Miss Patty Stockman on, the wife of the Congressman Stockman. And Jacob is going to drive that interview. Jacob's going to pretty much drive that interview. I'll chime in every now and then if they need me, if I'm not in the way. But yeah, the best news of the week probably is Matt's back. I like my full crew back. Okay, the next thing of the announcement, Chapel Hill, people. June the 15th, we're going to be at Chapel Hill. Hopefully we can get Gene Andrews on next week to tell us all the details. I want him on this today, but it's just so busy. Okay, August the 10th, heavy news. August the 10th, plan to be at Henry Horton State Park in Tennessee. That's going to be the second anniversary of Charlottesville celebration we have with Dr. Michael Hill and the League of the South. Bigger news than that, even, there's going to be Rick Tyler, the dad of Jacob Tyler. He's got a lawsuit going, to best of my understanding, that he's trying to get the University of Virginia forced him to allow him to give a speech to the people there. In one way or the other, yours truly, come hell or high water, Blood River will be there. So what we want to do, we want to broadcast to two locations remote. We'll be having Blood River broadcast from Charlottesville, Virginia, if Rick Tyler is successful. We also will have our people at Henry Horton for the second anniversary, because we promise people we're going to be there. We try to keep our promises, come hell or high water. Another huge, huge announcement. My wife, after going through so much, she's been pronounced, she doesn't have cancer. She had some other stuff that mimics cancer. So thank you for all your prayers. Thank you so much. More huge news. Starting Monday or Tuesday, hopefully at the latest, you will be able to donate to Blood River Radio online. We have a processor. I worked with her. It took me 3 days to get that done. And a little bit more money, not a whole lot more money, but everything you do costs money. If the stuff you do in life, people, most of the time, just about, I found that 90% of the time, if it's not painful, if it's not a pain in the butt, if it's not work, it's not worth doing. That's pretty much all the announcements, except I don't know where Patrick is, our other co-host, Patrick. I'm kind of worried about him. I hadn't heard from him in a long time. I wish he'd call in and let us know if he's okay. That's the way it is in the world, I guess. One thing I noticed today, too, at the University of Memphis graduation, I was shocked at how many foreigners are there. I mean, I don't know how in the world the MC read the names of all the graduates. But I noticed especially anything to do with engineering, I don't know how, you know, what's happened to our country. It would be easy to get pessimistic and think it's too late, because we're just inundated, no matter where you go, with foreigners. And one thing that stood out right off the bat, the Navy Admiral who gave the graduation address to open it up with, he was complimenting the school on the diversity. I thought, well, that's great, you know, but I'm not kidding you, people. I would say that, Anglo-Saxon white people like us, I would say we're probably outnumbered, especially in the engineering school. I'd say four to one, 3 to 1 at least. And the whole school was like that. And, you know, another thing that's upsetting, you take my grandson, and I'm not saying me, but we had to struggle. I mean, you would not believe the struggle it is to get a kid through college nowadays. You would not believe the expense. And he was penalized because we would not allow him to take all those vaccinations, because I know what goes in them. I'm an old registered nurse. I've been in a shot team for 29 days when I was in the Army. I know what goes in that crap. But we had to pay it through the nose. I mean, absolutely through the nose to get him even out of high school, because you couldn't throw it through the Memphis City public schools, because it's a death trap there. And if you did, you know what happens if you throw your kid in a public school in the large city, they're going to come out hating their parents, hating their grandparents, hating God. That's pretty much the way it goes. We couldn't allow that. But it costs thousands and thousands to get him out of college. And these other foreigners, just about all of them are on some kind of government ride. Well, people, I hear the music. We're getting ready to let you go, and we're going to come right back. We're going to bring in Miss Patty Tyler, and Jacob's going to be driving an interview. So hang on to your seats. We'll be right back. Excuse me. I'm sorry. Patty Stockman. I'm sorry. We'll be right back, people. Patty Stockman.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
kosher, certified. Put the two words together to get co-certified, which is spelled with an S-E-H instead of just S-H. It's the right way to spell this, the German way, and it made it easier to trademark. Now, did I tell you that the letters S-C-H still make the shh sound, as in all those American food producers saying, shh, let's keep it really quiet that our product is kosher certified? Think about it. Nearly one century of kosher certification, and hardly anyone outside exclusive observers knows that most packaged food and kitchen products are literally certified by religious intermediaries. Well, because you, consumer, are indirectly paying for this, the Kosherified app is here to make kosher certification awareness an inclusive matter for people of all faiths and identities. And it even boasts a unique database of products not kosher certified. We call that NKC. Start memeing it. It's fun. NKC, not kosher certified. Now, to confuse our audience even more, we put a question mark at the end of our name, and that really cinched our trademark approval. It relates to the website where you can begin your new shopping behavior, thekosherquestion.com.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
Excuse me, Captain. I know this may sound silly, but can you fly?
Nope. Never had lessons.
Three years before Donald J. Trump was elected president, one congressman spoke out boldly and often as a whistleblower on Obama administration corruption.
Why do you want to seek impeachment of this president?
Well, as I said in my statement, we want all tools available to use, including that. But we also talked about lawsuits, stopping the funding. And the reason we're doing this is because we have a president who stepped over the line. He's taken his authority. Most executive orders are really meant for executive branch. He's using it really for legislative and skipping the Congress. That's a violation of the Constitution. We believe we have grounds, and some very prominent people that, like Ed Meese, thinks we have good standing.
We're asking the State Department to allow the witnesses to come forward, stop interfering with investigations. Since they refuse to do that, we're asking for a special committee that has subpoena power to open up what's really a sad situation.
They've been trying to pass a bill, amnesty, in the Senate. They did pass it. And I blue-slipped it because they put taxes in it. And so far, Harry Reid has never sent over the amnesty bill to the House.
We issued a contempt order against her, and we need to act upon it. Quite frankly, Eric Holder's under contempt of Congress, too. In fact, your clips just earlier showed that they're not even really investigating her. This is a farce.
Folks, the situation with Steve Stockman is particularly egregious. I mean, Trump gained all of this steam when he was running off of draining the swamp. And here was a guy who was attempting to do just that, a guy that was speaking truth to power, standing against the corrupt establishment, going after corrupt people in the Obama administration. And this guy was bullied and cajoled and beaten back, and people that were supporting him were threatened and intimidated into backing down as well. This is prima facie evidence of how severe this situation is, and this guy is sitting in prison right now for doing his job, for being a statesman instead of a politician. Play the next clip, if you would, Sam.
Does it matter whether you're innocent or not? They will make up crimes against you. They will search your house. They're willing to make up evidence. They're willing to put pressure on witnesses to say whatever they want them to say. If the government wants to put you in prison, you will go to prison. Look at what's happened to Congressman Steve Stockman.
Steve Stockman, a political prisoner in his own country. Text FIGHT to 444-999 to help. DefendAPatriot.com.
Okay, folks, so we're right back from those two great video clips, and we would like to welcome Miss Patty Stockman on. But before she comes on, I'm going to make an additional comment on those two videos, and specifically to Eric Holder. You know, people, you may remember a couple of weeks ago we had a great guest on, and we talked about the Oklahoma City bombing. And this is what really just makes me sick. I got to make this quick because we got to bring Miss Patty on. But Eric Holder, if you remember, if you listened to the show, the man was specifically responsible for setting up the explosion of the Oklahoma City Murrah Federal Building. He supplied some of the explosives to the FBI. And, you know, and this is well documented. You can pull it up and you can find the evidence yourself. You can look up the documentation. You don't have to just take my word for it. They found some of the leftover explosives with the FBI agent's fingerprints on it. And, you know, Terry Nichols and Timothy McVeigh's fingerprints on these explosives. He got by with it. He got promoted from assistant attorney general to the attorney general, you know, going from the Clinton's administration and went over to the Obama administration. These are the kind of people that are attacking people like a good congressman, Stockman. I mean, it's just incredible. I'm not going to go off too bad on the government, but you know what? With that, I'm going to go back to Miss Patty. Miss Patty, welcome on the radio tonight, dear. I'm going to ring you on, and then I told you about earlier, but I talked to you last week. Jacob is going to drive the most of this interview tonight. He's held on to me. He covered for me while I was at my grandson's graduation. I got here by the seat of my pants, so welcome, Miss Stockman.
Well, thank you so much, Eddie and Jacob. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Glad to have you on.
Go ahead, Jacob. Well, Jacob's going to drive this interview, people.
Thank you, Eddie. Well, Patty, like I said, it's great to have you on. Perhaps you'd like to start with, can you give us any kind of an update on this situation? Is there any kind of late-breaking news, or are we still kind of in the same holding pattern right now?
Well, there is some late-breaking news, but just in case you've got some listeners today that weren't listening when I was on a month or so ago, however long that's been. Let me just recap for their benefits. The last clip that they had heard from my husband Steve in that first video segment you played, he was talking about his resolution he'd filed in the House to arrest Lois Lerner for her contempt of Congress because she had refused to cooperate with Congress when they were trying to investigate her leadership of the IRS in coming after Tea Party and other groups. And so he was on two different Fox News TV shows as soon as he filed that bill, and a number of other talk radio shows just all over the nation, a lot of nationwide press immediately. 2 weeks later, the FBI was knocking at our apartment door in Northern Virginia, where he stayed when he was in session in Congress. And he had already been under investigation, and one grand jury had already been convened. But after they made that move, they changed teams in the FBI or amongst the prosecutors. They brought in some guys with more muscle who just took that and were relentless in pursuing my husband. And as you said, Jacob, they brought in before grand juries people who had worked in his campaign, people who had worked on his staff, brothers, friends, even a mechanic who had worked on his brother's car that Steve had paid for years earlier, were brought before grand juries. It was just insanity. And Steve never talked about that. Your listeners wouldn't have heard about it. No, it was not in the press because, unlike today, where we see a lot of those that are being pursued speaking out about it, even as the investigations are going on, my husband unfortunately received poor legal advice, and that was just don't say anything. If you don't say anything, they can't say anything publicly, and they can't publicize this. So he had bad counsel all along the way. You slow me down if you're going to have to stop and go to a break, okay, Jacob?
Absolutely. Now, quick question there. I mean, those of us who've been studying and observing these things for a while, we see that, or we've observed many times, that where somebody like your husband is concerned, the fix is already in. You know, they're just going through the proceedings just to make a very, very haphazard, if you ask me, attempt at you know, being accountable and you know, act like that. Oh, ha! You know, conveniently we've just turned the tables and found out you're the corrupt one. Forget about these people you were about to expose. So we know that in a lot of those cases, we know that in a lot of those cases, the fix is already in. And when you mentioned that he was consistently given bad counsel, one question that immediately came to mind was, do you think there's any possibility that the attorneys were paid to lay down for him too, or do you think it was just incompetence?
No, I don't think they were, not at all. I do not at all think they were paid to lay down. I think it was incompetence. Even his defense attorneys, he had one attorney during the 3 years of investigation. You say the fix was in, and I think you're absolutely right. They had made up their mind that they were going to get him, but it took 3 years and convening four different grand juries in order to try to cook up enough evidence and find a way to knit it together into just an unbelievable tapestry of intrigue and corruption on his part. And we'll continue when you get back.
Yes, yes, thank you. There's the music for the break, folks. We'll be right back after these minutes.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Rick Vincent.
After days of upheaval, Venezuela is sinking back into political stalemate. In the fourth month of their standoff, President Nicolas Maduro and opposition leader Juan Guaido are unable to deliver a knockout blow as Venezuela spirals deeper into neglect, isolation, and desperation. The Trump administration has said Maduro's days are numbered. On Fox News, Mac McClarty, former Clinton White House chief of staff, was asked if the world takes it seriously.
These situations are always dicey, but I think in this case, the administration has done a good job and really initiative from other nations in the region. Brazil, the Lima Group, Argentina, Canada has involved.
The NTSB is on the scene in Florida where a military chartered passenger plane slid off a runway into a shallow river while landing, forcing the 136 passengers and seven crew members onto a wing to evacuate. You're listening to USA Radio News.
It's amazing but true. When it comes to one of America's biggest household expenditures, healthcare, a lot of people think they've got no choice. People are used to thinking we have to do it this way, but they don't. Yes, you have the freedom to choose an alternative with your healthcare. It's MediShare, and it costs way less than the alternatives. The typical family saves $500 a month, not a year, a month. And if you're single, this can save you a lot, too. And let's face it, a big reason MediShare is 400,000 people strong, it just works. They've shared over $3 billion in medical bills, so they can help share your needs, too. Joining MediShare for so many people is one of those things that makes you say, why didn't I do this before? So yes, the time has come for something better. Look into joining MediShare and see why so many people are opting out of the old way and into the new. Why not look into this? Just call 855-90-PSALM. That's 855-90-PSALM. 855-90-PSALM.
As Berkshire Hathaway shareholders hold their annual meeting in Omaha, CEO Warren Buffett was asked his philosophy about picking an investment.
In the end, it all goes back to Aesop, who in 600 BC said, you know, that a bird in the hand is worth two in the bush.
Thousands of Berkshire Hathaway shareholders return to Omaha every year to learn from billionaire Warren Buffett and celebrate the company he built through acquisitions and investments. Emergency crews recovered a body from an Illinois silicone plant following a massive explosion Friday night. Two others are missing and presumed dead. CBS Chicago reports a search and recovery operation has been suspended due to concerns of the structural integrity of the building, as well as the hazardous materials inside the plant. The explosion rocked the Waukegan area just before 10 p.m. Friday. Nine employees were inside the plant at the time. Of the surviving employees, four were transported to hospitals and two declined medical treatment. North Korea has fired several short-range missiles from its eastern coast. South Korea's military bolstered its surveillance in case there are additional launches. This is USA Radio News.
Steve Stockman, about 30 seconds left. You walked the walk. You didn't just talk the talk. What do you want people to remember about you?
That I didn't blow with the wind, that I took up the challenge. And even though it may have been difficult on my family and on me, and it will continue to be difficult, I will not blow in the wind. I will stand firm, and I will stand up against the machine, which is here to, I think, undermine America's values, America's courage, and America's reputation around the world has been diminished, and we'll stand strong.
All right, folks. Well, we're back on from our break, listening to some powerful words from a true political prisoner, Congressman Steve Stockman, a statesman in an age of politicians. And we're back here with his wife, Patty Stockman, on the phone. And Patty, my buddy Sam tells me, Sam Bushman, you know, he tells me that Ted Nugent has gotten involved in advocating for Congressman Stockman as well. And I just wondered if you could comment on that.
Yeah, that's right. In fact, you asked if there was any late-breaking news, and that is definitely late-breaking. My husband, the first year he was, he took office in 2013, January 2013, and 3 weeks into office, the Sandy Hook incident happened, and there was all of this noise coming from President Obama and all the Democrats. Like we hear every time there's a gun incident, and you know it was all about gun control. And so Steve put out a press release saying if the president overstepped his authority and in limiting the Second Amendment, he would exercise every tool in his quiver, including, if need be, articles of impeachment. And well, that hit the news big time. But the very next month, he invited Ted Nugent as his guest to the State of the Union to help tamp down that grandstanding that the president was doing. And Ted has been a good friend. He had helped in Steve's campaign because Steve has always been strong in the Second Amendment and just protecting all of our constitutional rights. And so Ted has been a friend throughout. And he just called me this morning thanks to an email that got forwarded to him from Sam, which I greatly appreciate. He called me, and I was delighted to hear from him, and he's on board to do what he can to help. In fact, he's already posted some positive words about Steve and what an outrage it is that my husband's in federal prison. He posted that midday today, so your listeners can go out and take a look at Ted Nugent's website and see that. And also, before we get any further, let me just say, if your listeners want to help, because as you know, Justice Department, one of the things they like to do is totally drain their prey and break us financially, and they've pretty well done that, and we still have legal bills outstanding. They can go to our website, defendapatriot.com, defendapatriot.com, or if they just would like to give, they can text FIGHT, the word FIGHT, to 444-999, text FIGHT to 444-999. But yeah, I'm real excited. I texted Steve kind of a coded message. I mean, I emailed him. He has an email, prison system email service, and I sent him an email to let him know that Ted was on board, and you know, there are a lot of Teds. So that doesn't tell anybody anything. And I'll be seeing Steve on Monday and visiting with him for several hours, but we're really pumped about that.
That is phenomenal. It's not every day that people that are out there shining light and making noise and really doing their dead level best to you know, not just do their jobs, but you know, be like the watchman on the wall that scripture talks about, just certainly what your husband was doing very courageously. It's not every day that someone as high profile and as famed as the one and only Ted Nugent gets on board promoting their plight. So that's a phenomenal development. And I'm just wondering, is that were y'all friends with Ted Nugent ahead of time, or did he become friends with your husband through your husband's advocacy for the Second Amendment and issues of that nature?
The latter, yes. Steve has known him for years. I think Ted may have become aware of my husband when he was in Congress. The first time he was in Congress in 95-96 and was a big Second Amendment supporter and had defeated 42-year incumbent Democrat Jack Brooks of Texas because he had, among other things, he had made a move to limit the Second Amendment. And so gun owners, while they had supported the Democrat in the past, he kind of misstepped there, and they got behind my husband and helped unseat him. And Ted, I probably became aware of him at that point. And so when Ted and when Steve reached out to him when he ran for Congress again in 2012, Ted was there. Steve went over to one of his concerts and visited with him behind the stage. And so he was a friend then. And so that's why Steve thought of inviting him to the State of the Union address to make a statement about how much my husband supported the Second Amendment, that he would invite somebody who's an NRA board member and an outspoken advocate of the Second Amendment. But to just go back to let your listeners know a little bit more about what happened. So this investigation, I said, went on for 3 years.
Absolutely.
And they did, like I said, 2 weeks after he was on TV talking about arresting Lois Lerner, a new team of agents were at his door, but he didn't open the door. And that you'd ask about naive attorneys. I've heard attorneys, a few attorneys on talk shows recently, with all the developments that we've been seeing around President Trump and people that are on his team. I've heard some attorneys say to viewers or listeners that if these guys come knocking at your door, don't talk to them. And in fact, Steve did not. He never, ever talked to them. And I'd asked him one time, you don't have anything to hide. Why not talk to them? You know, there's nothing going on here. And he said, because, and now this was in 2013, probably, I think. And so it was before everything that's come to light about them, you know, subsequently. And he said, because, Patty, if I answer one of their questions one way, and several months later they come back and they're talking to me again, and they ask something that's kind of sort of similar, but not exactly, and I answer in somewhat different way, they'll accuse me of lying to the government. And in fact, that's what we've seen happen to these other people. I just want to encourage your listeners, if the federal government should ever come knocking at your door, you do not have to talk to them. You can say, I'm not talking to you under the Second Amendment. And I mean, not the Second Amendment, First Amendment. And Fifth Amendment, under the Fifth Amendment, and don't talk to them. Let them do their own thing. So they broke a couple of guys. Well, one guy who had worked for my husband, he would have been easily swayed anyway. He was afraid of his own shadow, so he would have been very easily intimidated. Good guy, but would he be easily intimidated. And so he pled guilty, and I'm still not sure what he pled guilty to, because he wasn't guilty of anything that we knew of. And then, of course, pointed the finger at my husband and did whatever they told him to do. So he went before another grand jury, and had testimony, and that grand jury, the fourth one, decided, okay, there's enough evidence here, let's indict this guy. And so I think it was maybe the next day they arrested my husband when he was getting on the plane to fly to Dubai on some business. He flew internationally, and international affairs is really one of his fortes. So he was getting on a plane to go to Dubai, and they arrested him, and that was in April 20, I lose track of time, 2017. And then a year later, last spring, we had a trial, nearly three-week-long trial, and the jury came back with a guilty verdict on April the 12th, 2018. That's just a year ago. And the judge granting the prosecutor's request put him immediately into prison before he was sentenced. He didn't get sentenced until November after they found him guilty in April. So he was in prison for 8 months without being sentenced. And it's just a travesty, a miscarriage of justice. It's very unjust.
In every sense of the word. And you know, they're supposed to be very transparent about this stuff. The government will, I say the government, I mean people associated with the government will arrest and sometimes criminally charge members of FIJA, the Fully Informed Jurors Association, for handing out citizens' rule books in front of a jury or, you know, a court building, and charge them with jury tampering. And yet, you know, there's numerous instances where our own government has been observed in basically stacking a jury, someone so that the people on it are more disposed.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com. and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Hey, this is Matt from Blood River Radio. Blood River Radio is your voice to save our land, our people, and our future. We propose Christian solutions to an anti-Christian assault on our bloodlines. We love what we do, but we cannot do it without your help. The annual operating cost of Blood River Radio is more than even a team of people should bear alone. With your donation, we can take the fight to our enemies and hold our own people accountable for their treachery against us. Please go to our website, www.bloodriverradio.com, and find a way to help us that is suitable for you. We are thankful for any cash, check, or money orders we get. We also appreciate your correspondence or letters of encouragement. Once again, please help. And thank you for joining the fight.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Being this is a .44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off. Got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, Bunk?
Well, folks, we're coming right back to Jacob and Miss Patty. I just wanted to jump in and make a quick comment or two. First of all, people, if you will, I would like to reiterate what Miss Patty said one more time. If you would like to help, and I hope and pray you will, help Congressman Steve Stockman and his beautiful wife, Patty, wonderful wife. You can go into defendapatriot.com, and there's everything there you can think of that you could help. You could also sign a petition to support Congressman Stockman. And also, you can tip to reiterate, to clarify, you can also donate by texting. Here's how you do it. Text FIGHT to 444999. That's how you can do it by text. And I'm just going to make a quick comment. Jacob was so right. I was going to tell him comment later about the juries, about jury notification, about the power of the people, that they don't really realize the power that they have with the juries. And also, I would like to make a quick comment, and I'm going to shut up. I'm going to ask a question to Miss Patty. Jacob asked one similarly earlier in the show. Jacob asked Miss Patty if she thought his attorneys might have been laying down. Call me suspicious. I'll always be suspicious about that. Secondly, Miss Patty, and I'm going to ask this question. I'm going to shut up and let you go to Jacob. Do you think did the government try to intimidate any of the jurors in any way, to your knowledge? And you can answer and just answer to, and go back to Jacob.
Yeah. To my knowledge, they did not. We do feel like that we did not have a balanced jury, just the way this whole selection process went. But then we didn't have, Steve's defense attorneys weren't, they just weren't as on the ball. They're fairly liberal. It's very hard to find defense attorneys, you guys, who are enlightened, who have any idea what's going on, or who are knowledgeable of the Constitution. These guys were ignorant of the laws under which Steve was being tried. They didn't know anything about nonprofit law, which is what was a major thing in the case, nor did they know anything about campaign finance law or regulations, which was the other significant piece of the whole trial. So they did not understand the laws under which he was charged, and we were so disappointed they didn't make the effort to become informed or bring on board or consult with people that understood it. That said, let me just say, I don't think there was any hanky panky going on. I feel confident the prosecutors intimidated both the first guy that pled guilty and a second guy who had worked for my husband. I'm confident they intimidated him as well to get a guilty plea from him. And Steve said he could tell when they sat on the stand, he could tell what they had agreed with the government to say, because it's the only time that they lied in their testimony. They said a lot of positive things about my husband in answer to questions, but in answer to certain questions, they lied. And he said, I could tell. That's what they had agreed to say.
It does sound like the one gentleman you were talking about earlier. It sounds like he took some kind of a plea deal almost, because you see that with lower level actual crimes going on all the time, where the police and the detectives don't have compelling evidence per se, even though they're pretty sure a guy's really guilty of dealing drugs or something like that. So on a plea deal, they'll get him to admit to something that they may not even have proof that he did. But it's the equivalent, and they can still get, the end result they desire out of it. So the way you were describing that, it did sound almost like the friend of your husband's took some kind of plea deal along those lines.
Yes. Well, both of those fellows did take plea agreements, and they both have been sentenced to 18 months in prison, where Steve has a 10-year sentence, and he turned 61 the week before the sentencing. So he's going to be an old man when he gets out of prison, if he has to serve the full term. But anyway, one of those that's been sentenced to 18 months is already in prison. I've checked the prisoner system, and it looks like the second one hasn't yet gone to prison. And I know your guys' time is going to be short, so let me just say this before you, if we have another time for you to ask another question, Jacob, that'd be great. But let me just tell you guys, for the update, since I was on last, we did hire an appellate attorney. We were not able to get the funds to hire the really powerful attorney that my husband wanted, who had been one of the attorneys on Governor Rick Perry's case when the government came after him. They finally were able to settle out of court, and they didn't have to go to court, as I recall, but he had attorneys doing a good job. We were not able to get that guy. We have another attorney, and he is just he's doing what I consider to be a brilliant job in his preparation of Steve's appeal. It's due to be filed on May 24th, And this is a very, very, very long process with several responses back and forth. We file first, and the government files after a number of months, and then we get to file something minor after that. And then and only then does the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals begin reviewing what's been filed. So the Fifth Circuit is sitting doing nothing until after everything has been filed. And so there may be oral arguments maybe sometime in the fall. So we're looking at a process that's going to be at least another year for this appeal. So would appreciate your and the legal bills keep mounting, and my husband really wants to go. He wants to file some suit against folks that had a hand in this or were used by the federal government. He wants to file some suits of his own even while he's in prison. So we definitely need your listeners' help from texting FIGHT to 444-999 or going to the website defendthepatriot.com. Really, really encouraged by the appeal, the way it's shaping up, as I said. And there's some other moves afoot as well. And I'm glad you mentioned the petition, Eddie. Let me just say and encourage your listeners, if they would like, we have some. I met a lady in North Carolina back in August, I want to say, and she took a petition to go to the president on behalf of my husband, asking him to pardon my husband. She took it to a Republican meeting two Saturdays ago, and has been people have been passing it around in churches, and they've gathered almost 200 more signatures on the petition to send to the president. So if any of your listeners would not only like to go online and sign, but tell friends to go online and sign, or if I can furnish Eddie with a copy of the petition with a few lines, and you can make copies of it and have people sign the petition hard copy and get those back to me somehow, the easiest way is for them to go online and sign the petition. And we would like thousands of people to sign this petition to the president.
Well, and if we make it available in hard copy and online, then we're much more likely to hit those kind of numbers, too. That would be ideal.
Yep.
for maximizing.
Yep.
Its exposure. Now, Patty, I got a few questions for you, too, and take your time answering them by all means, but there's like two or three back-to-back I wanted to ask you, and so if we can kind of take all the time you need to answer it, but with the thought in mind that I'll have another one or two after this first one,
okay.
to address a couple things to you here.
All right.
So
okay.
One of them is, So one of them is, I understand that your husband is a diabetic, and of course, especially with political prisoners, but in the prison system in general, they're not always known for their exemplary treatment of the prisoners involved, and where political prisoners are concerned, they're often, as part of the punishment and everything, you know, the people involved will deprive them of things and whatnot. So I'm sure we'd all like to know, I mean, how is your husband doing? Is his health, how is his health? And if you could comment on that, that would be great.
Right. Well, he has some significant health issues. When he came into this prison, so he was in the first prison for a little over 8 months, and then they moved him to where he is now right after Thanksgiving. And when they moved him, they sent with him the different medications he was on, insulin and other medications. And when they took him in, there was a guy, not a doctor, but a guy kind of on the medical end, who tossed one of the medications that came refrigerated, said, he asked my husband, what's this? And he explained to him, it's Trulicity. It's not an insulin, but it helps stabilize the sugar level so you don't need as much insulin. And the previous prison was allowing me, they couldn't get it, they can't get it through the prison system. And the doctor there was allowing me to continue to pick it up and deliver a month's supply at a time to the prison medical staff. And they said, we're not going to do that. They tossed it in a box to mail back to me. And they took him off another medicine or two, and including the insulin he was on. They said, I don't know, this insulin doesn't look familiar. They got on the computer and said, well, this other prisoner's a diabetic. Let's see what we give him. Okay, we give him this and that. This is what we're going to give you. So thankfully, he is getting insulin three times a day, and he is getting blood pressure medicine. But beyond that, he is not getting the medical care
Well, people, we hear the music, so we've come to the end of the interview. Miss Patty, our prayers are with you. You did a fabulous job. Jacob did a fabulous job. We'll be contacting you soon. And if any breaking news, please get back with either us here at Blood River or Sam at Liberty News. Thank you so much.
Will do. Thank you for having me, and I'll answer Jacob's other questions next time.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you for coming on.
Bless you,
people,
guys.
Hang on. We'll come right back. We're going to bring Rick Tyler back up in just a few minutes. We come back to the break. People, we're going to talk about the National Solutions Conference. It's going to be going on in about a little over a month. So hold on.